Hockey season is upon us. We are just hours away at this point, and we are excited, man. We got Kay Fitz on the show today, so let's talk some hockey. That's all right.
You ever have a plan and you start the plan and you're thinking, okay, I got more than enough time, I can get this done, and then the plan kind of goes a little into overtime?
I mean, that's kind of how this happened today, you know? So, yeah.
Well, what happened was I had planned, because I told my wife I was going to clean out the shed today and get all of our Halloween stuff out. And because my daughter's supposed to be by later on this evening to help me set it up. And so I figured hour and a half, that should be more than enough time. Yeah, not quite. I mean, I was right there. I mean, I'm only like, 9 minutes late on what I said, but, you know.
That's all right. It's all right, man. We got hockey on the horizon. Nothing else matters. Ooh, that's Metallica.
We do.
Ooh, nothing else matters. Ooh, 3 days away?
Nothing else matters, and who's going to be the hero of the day?
Ah, shoot.
King Nothing. Uh-oh.
What's that?
Or King Nothing, if we're going to be throwing out Metallica songs.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Or could it be For Whom the Bell Tolls for the Blues?
Oh, ooh, that's kind of funny because it's the Blues too,
huh?
Well, you know, we are ready for hockey. They finally have the 23-man roster set.
Yes, they do. Any surprises in who they let go?
Ah, shoot. No, not exactly. I mean, kind of had hopes for Jordy Benn, but then again, I kind of knew that he was just a training camp body. Whatever happens to him, though, you know, I hope for the best. I hope he stays here in Texas somehow.
Yeah,
I really do. But you know, other than, go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, as we learned, you know, we all wanted, you know, a lot of us wanted Max Domi to stay, and that didn't happen. So we're all going to have our players that we wish would stay in a perfect or fantasy style world. You know, they can, but in the real world where you have to come down and you have to choose who you think is going to be the best players, it's going to give you the best opportunity. You know, sometimes those players that we think, you know, should be chosen or brought up or whatever are not who is chosen. So we as a fan base just have to put our faith into the coaching and the management staff and hope they make the right choices.
Yeah. I mean, I look at Hanley and Harley, and I'm going, all righty, you know? But the rest of them, I mean, it's kind of a given.
Yeah. Give me a second here. Like I said, I'm just getting prepared here, so bear with me.
No worries.
All right. So we were discussing a little bit that I guess Hintz, Johnston, and Boxa are going to be game-time decisions, it looks like, huh?
Possibly. I mean, they're holding their cards close to the vest, but you know,
that could be also a coaching. That could also be a, you know who was famous for doing stuff like that, right?
Tell me.
Belichick. Coach Belichick of the New England Patriots. He would list Tom Brady on the injured reserve list every week.
Would he really?
Yes, he would. Look it up. He sure would. Just keep the other teams guessing.
I'm not going to sit there and say that any one of those three are the best players ever, but like, it would raise a question as to why somebody like Foxa is listed as injured to kind of raise a red flag to the opponent. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe not so much Foxa. Foxa may be injured or maybe dealing, but what I'm talking about is, you know, at least Hintz or Johnston.
Yeah, it could be a ha-ha gotcha, maybe.
You know, or just a red herring, you know, or, you know, Trojan horse.
Oh, boy. Thanks for getting that song stuck in my head now.
Which one's that?
The one on the commercial? You know what I'm talking about. That's another subject for another show for another day. Hi.
But, I mean, you know, we do have some players that we can, you know, fill those holes. So the only one that really concerns me is Hintz. I mean, yeah, I want Johnston to have a good second year. He's still in that rookie mindset, even in your second year. I think he's going to play a lot better this season. He's going to have a better head on his shoulders, and he's going to understand a little bit more about how it's played in the pros versus, you know, in junior leagues and things of that nature. But Rupi Hintz, you know, with him and Robertson, that missing him on that line, you know, that's almost as bad as missing Robertson on that line.
Oh, very much so is, because you can't have one without the other, it seems.
No, you cannot. But, I mean, like I said, we do have players that we can fit in. You know, we were discussing, in fact, one of them that I'd be kind of interested to see how they're going to fit him in, and that's Craig Smith.
You're about to see on Thursday.
Yeah. You know, I noticed that there's, like we were discussing earlier, there's people in the fan base that wanted Stankoven to be brought up and felt like that, you know, with us bringing Craig Smith in, that's kind of the, you know, reason Stankoven wasn't brought up. But you brought up a very good point in the fact that, you know, probably maybe they brought Craig Smith in because they didn't think that Stankoven was ready to be brought up and they didn't want to put him into a Wyatt Johnston situation.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my thought process, because last year was a very, very, very risky situation because, you know, in that 9-game tryout period, whatever you want to call it, you're kind of putting the year of eligibility, I think it's called, for his contract, you're kind of putting it in a bind.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go 9 games and you decide, ah, crap, can't deal with him, for whatever reason, then what? Then one of his years of his contracts is voided.
Yep.
So,
you know, we were fortunate with Johnston, and unfortunately, Johnston's kind of, he's not the norm. He's the exception to the rule in a lot of cases.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it kind of makes me curious about Stankoven, because if he's not ready for that 9-game period, you know, my question is, why do you have him at all?
Oh, I think you have him because you think maybe he's right there on the cusp of being ready. And like you said, you just don't want to waste that year on his contract. So might as well hold him back one more season, you know, because you never know what's going to happen during this season. We could have injuries and things of that nature. Why wouldn't you want to keep a player like Stankoven readily available where you could bring him up at any point in time if needed?
I'd like to counter your question, since we're talking about Craig Smith and Logan Stankoven. I'd like to counter your question with a little shot in the dark and Ty Dellandrea, because there's three people fighting for Craig, or two people. I guess it is three people: Smith, Stankoven and Delandre all fighting for that one spot.
Right.
You know, if you dress Smith and you sit Delandre, and obviously Stankoven's down in the minors, but then, you know, one of them might take off and then the other two are in jeopardy. You see what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It feels like a kind of a log jam in that one little roster spot.
So it is. It is kind of a log jam, but once again, injuries could happen. Ty could come out and stink the ice up, and that way they've got fit in there. If Smith doesn't fit it out, then you still have Stankoven in the waiting that you can still bring up and dress him and try him out.
See, here's another thing for you. I would sit Smith, put Ty in that spot, and keep Logan in the wings as well, so to speak, you know, because, you know, Ty already had that spot. So
right.
you make Stankoven and Smith fight for it, and, you know, you got some fire there, if you ask me.
Well,
so.
And here's the thing. I mean, that line, more than likely, you know, Delandre is going to be on the same line, more than my guess would be, with Foxa and Steele. If Foxa can go and is medically cleared. So, you know, you're going to have basically a brand new line there. So you really don't have to worry about chemistry. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some chemistry between Delandre and Foxa. But even still, you know, the good thing about it is that line, you're not really going to mess up the chemistry by trying other players out. So, yeah, I agree with you. Started out with Delandre just because if Foxa is available to play and cleared, you know, you do have that kind of they know each other type thing. You've got that chemistry right there. And Sam Steele, I mean, he's just gonna play.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking third or fourth line, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was thinking. I was thinking third or fourth line for Sam Steele.
I mean, that team,
you know,
is loaded.
There's some that are saying, you know, the third line might be, you know, Ben Johnson and Dodonov, but honest and truly, I wouldn't mind seeing a Ben Johnson Steele.
That is intriguing because there's a lot of speed there. There's some sniper ability in Sam Steele. Johnston is his own thing. Holy moly. Johnston, I would say he's a mixture of everything.
Johnston is kind of one of those, he's that enigma when he's on the ice, because you just never know what he's going to do. And he doesn't give up, as we saw many times last season. He would make shots that nobody else would have even attempted.
As a rookie, no less. And, you know, back to Stankoven. Maybe that's what Logan was missing.
Could be. I mean, you know, he might be missing some of that creativity. I watched a little bit of Stankoven, and, you know, yeah, he's got the speed. He's got, you know, the know-how and knowledge, but I do think maybe he is lacking a little bit in that creativity. Oh, my goodness, I can't speak today. In that creative element of the game. Where, you know, I did notice that sometimes he did make some errant passes, which, of course, he's a rookie. It happens. But,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to put your team into bad positions based off of some of those errant passes.
And that's kind of why I questioned even having him up here to begin with. You know, because, you know, do you really want to put a rookie in there? I've said that all along, I believe. Except for with Wyatt Johnston, because we knew what we were getting with him.
And here's one of the things, though. You know, I think I was reading somewhere where, you know, the Dallas Stars are one of the oldest teams in the league right now. So eventually, you have to start phasing in some of these younger guys. But do I think you should do it now, especially considering that there are many out there that are considering the Dallas Stars as the favorite to not only make it to the finals, but also win the cup this season? So do you want to take the chance of going throwing a rookie into the mix on something like that, or do you want to just pull the reins back, let the players that you have go and hold that rookie back, and if you need him per injuries or something, some other unforeseen event, then you at least have him.
I agree. Yeah. You want to keep him down there because that's a similar approach or system or whatever you want to call it to coaching as it is up here. And, you know, he's going to get the game time experience. He's going to get the ice experience. He's going to get the chemistry down there. And see, when you put him on a line down there in Cedar Park, you can, in theory, look at who he's working well with. And if Ben or Sagan should happen to walk at the end of their contract, I think Ben's is up first, maybe.
Right.
If Ben should happen to say, you know what, I can't do it anymore, then you've got Stankoven and whoever's working well with him.
And if I could throw this out there, and I don't mean to, no disrespect to Ben, but if Ben's not, you know, pulling his weight as the organization and coaching staff feels that he should be, it may not even come down to I'm just not feeling it, I think I'm going to leave. It may come down to it was a good run, we're going to go ahead and let you go and let you test the waters and see if you can go somewhere else, and then we're going to bring up some younger talent.
Dude, they've already done that to some of the greatest players in Stars history. Madonna, freaking Morrow, Hatcher?
Yep.
Really?
Well, unfortunately, as with every sport out there, eventually every athlete's going to come to a point where they're just not the same person. Everyone. Even Gretzky at one point hit that, as hard as that is to believe.
That is crazy. It really is. So, I mean, Ben's been a workhorse too.
He has been a workhorse, and he's been here for quite a while. And like I said, anybody listening to this, I am not wishing this. I would like for him to stay longer. I'd love for him to sign a new contract and finish his career in Dallas and retire in Dallas. That would be amazing. That would be a stellar career, especially for as long as he's been captain, and to retire as captain of the team, why not? And I'll be honest with you, if they win the cup this season, I mark my words, Ben will retire.
I think you should, because you got what you wanted.
Yep.
You know
what else is there for him?
Right. What's the term for it though? When you reach the pinnacle of your career, man. Like you can walk away and just smile, you know.
And here's something, and I don't know what Ben's choices are or what he's wanting to do after he's done playing hockey, but honest and truly, as an organization, with someone like that who's been a captain of that team for as long as he has and been with this organization as long as he has, I don't know why you wouldn't keep him on as a consultant or even as a coach or something of that nature, talent scout or something. But I would definitely try to keep him in the organization.
I was just thinking about that, and I think I had a talk with my buddy Weldon or somebody on the show about it. They've already got Ben Bishop in a consultant sort of role. Imagine even more players, just like you just mentioned, Ben, even Sagan, somebody like that. Imagine them taking the ice. Like, it all happens. I mean, not it all happens, but they all do it at some point.
Right.
I mean, Jamie Langenbrunner from the Dallas Stars in the 90s and the 2000s, he's in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
He's an assistant coach. It's going to happen. Like, imagine the future of your coaching staff being a Ben Bishop, Jamie Benn. That would be absolutely nutty. And he has. He's held the C for 10 years.
Yeah. That's not an easy feat.
No. Especially when you got somebody like Jason Robertson waiting in the wings.
Who I think that C should go to next, in my honest opinion. Just because I think he's earned this team's respect. And you could tell just when you talk to him, he's a natural born leader.
Dude, this kid is humble as can be. It blows my mind. Like, Like, I sat there last year in the media availability thing, and, like, I had to cover my camera because my mouth was on the floor. Like, he was just, no, I didn't earn this. It was because of the team. It was, you know, the team's going to do this, team's going to do that. And, yeah, I'll help when I can. I was like, huh?
And not only that, but you know what? He's a physical player, but he's not penalized a lot because you know why? He's a smart player.
He knows how to work within his limitations.
Right.
And, I mean, ooh, okay, so if you got him at the C here in a couple of years, who do you have as your ace, your alternates?
Well, let's see here.
Miro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm trying to look at this roster and see who would be leaving and who would be coming up. Because you got to think, when that does happen, you know, Johnson's probably going to be in his third or fourth season.
That's
depending
crazy.
Upon how he's playing. Might want to put an A on him.
That would be fun.
And let's see, you know, I mean, maybe, if he's still around, Tyler Seguin, maybe.
You think Tyler Seguin keeps his A?
Maybe. See, that's what I'm trying to look at. I mean, I could see him gone in a few years.
Well, he Pavelski. Signed an 8-year deal. Pavelski's going to be gone.
Yeah, he's going to definitely be gone. So, you know. Maybe see him steal and knock it out of the park.
There was a guy a couple of years ago by the name of Patrick Eves, and he stayed with the Stars a couple times on 1-year deals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this because you've got a guy like Matt Duchene kind of waiting in the wings as well. You know,
yeah.
He signed whatever length of contract he did to come here. And, you know, you could have him as an alternate very easily. And this is
very easily
prove it.
Number one, he has experience already. If he comes in here and lights the world on fire, he's definitely going to get a longer contract.
Oh, yeah.
So and he's, you know, he's not a younger guy, but he's a younger guy compared to some of the others.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that. His age did not even cross my mind.
So that would be kind of an interesting setup. Robertson is your captain, Duchene and Johnson is your alternates.
You could also put Miro as the captain. Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah, you could. I wasn't even thinking about defensemen.
Yeah. Hold up. Let me get my thought. The last defenseman to have a C for the Stars was Darian Hatcher.
Right.
And
I don't see a defenseman getting a C anytime soon. That's just being honest.
No?
No. I mean, who would you give it to? Heiskanen, maybe?
Yeah, just Miro. Simple as that.
Yeah,
your number one D man anyway. Like,
yeah, because you wouldn't give it to Hawk and Paul. Not saying anything, and Lundqvist, Esa Lindell, Harley and Suter. Yeah, no, Suter. I don't even know if he'll be there in a couple of years.
People are begging for him to be bought out. Let me ask you this: right. Buy him out. Who are you going to put in his place?
I can't even think that far ahead right now. I can tell you there's no defenseman out there right now that I would want to grab up.
I mean, we all had, well, a lot of us had hopes for Jordy Benn, but you're not even going to put him in Suter's place. Come on,
no.
People. If there was something to Jordy Benn, the coaching staff and management would have kept him around.
Yeah. If I were going to put him anywhere, it would probably have been in Esa Lindell's spot.
Really? Essa's?
Yeah. I'm saying if I were going to put him anywhere.
Well, I mean, you'd have a couple less turnovers, but then you got Suter, too. He'll muff something up.
Right.
I don't know, man. That's kind of one of my questions. The big
I know this is going to sound funny. Has there ever been, and I don't know, I don't know how this could work out. And I don't know. Has there ever been a goalie that's been a captain?
I don't think so.
I don't think there has. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Ottinger as your captain?
Well, see, they don't even get any letters.
No, they don't. Well, and so, I guess I could understand that. They're not out there in the field of play. So, yeah, that would make more sense.
I mean, there's been goalies that I kind of thought could be a captain. Let's go Nashville, Pecorine.
Yeah.
That man was a beast. Let's go
Belfour. Belfour could have been a captain in a heartbeat.
Oh, shoot. Belfour was the backbone of your defense back then, except for
that's Adler. What I'm saying. He, you know, he was the one setting the plays. How many times I used to love it when it would be kind of quiet and you could hear him screaming from their end of the ice while they're in the offensive zone of the opposing team, you could hear Belfour screaming.
Yeah.
I mean, he was quarterbacking stuff. Even from the net, he was quarterbacking.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think we have that guy right now.
No, I don't think we do either. Jake is great in the net, don't get me wrong, but he's not to that point where he can focus on what's going on down ice and keep his mindset on what's going on when it comes towards him. Belfour was just a beast.
That man, he knew. He knew what was up and when it was up. Yeah. I think that comes with confidence, though, and time, you know. Jake, yeah. Again, debuted when we were in the Stanley Cup Finals against Tampa Bay, right? And he was just thrown into the fire, and he's like, all right, challenge accepted, you know.
Oh, if you ask me, for last season, he was thrown into the fire, and he was challenge accepted.
Yeah, he was, but he ran out of steam. And
he did, but and that's going to happen. I think that would have happened to anybody, but he was at least willing to take the challenge on.
Yeah, he was. He's got, I don't want to say the real word, but he's got fortitude. There we go. And that is another question, and I plan on writing about this. Backup goaltender. Is Wedgwood going to be healthy enough? Is he going to be able to? And with Thompson being sent down to the ECHL, Idaho, that's good. At least they're keeping him around. You got Matt Murray and Poirier, but when you lose Wedgwood again, you got Matt Murray and Poirier. That's it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not going to lie to you. When I see a person get injured, I don't get off that little thought. For another two seasons. I was the same way with Sagan when he got injured during the Stanley Cup Finals and he couldn't play at all the following year for like the last little bit.
Mm-hmm.
First little bit. I wondered. I was like, is he going to be able to recover? And, you know, they say Jamie Benn had a, what do they call it, the Renaissance?
Yeah.
Did he, though? Or is he fighting for his life, you see?
Well, I think he did have the Renaissance, and like I said, another thing that helped Jamie Benn out, especially here recently, is having that youth on the line with him.
Mm.
So that all the pressure's not on him.
Yeah, true. But you know,
when you're a goalie, the pressure's on you. That's it. You're it.
Yeah, ain't nobody else stepping in that net to stop pucks.
No. That's one thing I'm kind of excited for, too. I didn't pay attention to the last few games, but I don't think Ottinger even played in the preseason, did he?
You know what? He did. He played against Minnesota the last
game. Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, he gave up four goals in that one?
No, I think they might have been split. They split the periods between the two.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
1.5 each. So, but yeah,
like I said, I didn't pay attention to the last couple games.
That's fine.
I was already done with it by that point. I was ready for some real hockey.
Yeah, me too. In your defense, you're also not the one writing about it, so there's that.
There's that, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the health of Wedgwood, the health of Jamie Benn, even the health of Tyler Seguin, those are all big questions for me. And, you know, Matt Duchene is a question mark for me as well, because what if, you know, what if he, how do I say this? What if his player stock plummets, you know?
Yeah.
What if, just what if, and this may be some hockey anxiety kicked in, but Jamie Benn cannot fight everybody. And he's the only one you got besides Hockenpah that's willing to throw hands or throw the body.
Yeah, we had Domi, but we lost him.
I mean, yeah, Domi's in Toronto, so good luck to him.
Yeah.
Benn, though. I want to see somebody like Delandria. He was the... Okay, get this. Did you know when he was playing in the minor leagues of, I believe it was the OHL, Flint Firebirds is the team, so if you want to look that up sometime, you can, to see what league they played. He was the captain of the Flint Firebirds. Okay? Mm-hmm. And when you look him up, he's been in fights down there or over there, whatever way you want to say. He's been one of those guys that checks. Is he ever going to step up and hit a little bit more? I'm not saying he doesn't do a good job. But is he confident enough to take the reins from Jamie Benn and say, you know what, sit down, I got it.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that you got to think of is one of those statistics that you looked up at the end of the last season. If you recall, I believe you sent it to me, but it seems like the trend right now in the NHL, the top teams actually are hitting less.
Well, then the Stars hit a wall against Vegas then.
Yeah. Well, like I said, well, Vegas was one of those that was up there that was, you know, if I'm not mistaken, them, Boston, Dallas were up there in the top five or six. If I could, I can't remember that you had sent it to me, and that's when we were kind of posing the question of maybe hits isn't as important as we thought that it was, you know.
And then you got a guy like Dumba, who absolutely just still in our heads. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, there is a need for somebody that's ready to go.
Yeah.
There really is. It may be minimal, for lack of a better way of putting it, really. It may be minimal, but there is still a need. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, I think they're going to get pushed around by Vegas again.
You think so? Talking about.
Yes, I highly, yes. I could write a college essay on why I think they're going to get pushed around by Vegas again.
against Minnesota.
About the same as last year. And, you know, when I was... here's something we can go off on. When I was listening to the game the other night, that was on ESPN Plus, for those that didn't know, you got the Minnesota feed, and they were just bagging on the Stars for...
The only
thing they could score on was the power play. Like, this guy legitimately said that he's not that worried about the Stars, because last year, the only time they scored, you know, readily was on the power play. They rarely scored on even strength goals against Minnesota. And with Dumba being in, where is he? Arizona?
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. What I'd be worried about is if Dumba didn't make that team. But, you know, seeing the game the other night, they've got Hartman, they've got a bangload of players over there in Minnesota that could skate circles around your guys. And they're going to need to knock them off the puck. You know, that's why I'm fully behind having at least one enforcer, because somebody's going to skate a circle around you a million times over, then you need to knock them off the puck.
So who's going to be that enforcer, though?
All you got's Jamie Benn. That's it. There's nobody willing to readily throw hands except for Hockenbaugh. He's got the size, but, you know, we were looking at Bischel. We were looking at, I forget the other dude's name. We were looking at a bunch of big guys. He could be this guy. He could be that guy. And Bischel was one of them. But, you know, you need to have those guys that at least have the size to them that can't get bumped that easily. That's my contention or my thoughts on somebody that's willing to throw hands. You know, you need at least one.
Or at least someone who's willing to go toe-to-toe when you're against the boards.
Right.
Someone who's going to muscle it out for the Stars.
Right, and you know they love the puck battles on the sides of the boards and the sides of the zone. Who's going to be willing and ready to just push everybody off the pile and go? You know, I think the problem with the Stars, and maybe I'm dead wrong here, I hope I am, is, you know, the thing is about people with speed, they're going to get tired eventually. We've seen that. What happens if they get tired? Puck goes the other way. So you can out-finesse somebody all you want, but that's going to run out.
Yep. I think one thing that's going to help the Stars out this season is, number one, if they can avoid the overtimes like they had last season, that's going to keep their legs fresher.
Yeah.
And number two, we do have, like you said, we have Matt Duchene. So if it does go into an overtime, you know, with him and Robertson, maybe we end that overtime fairly quickly.
I still hope that is your first overtime line right there. Duchene, Robertson, and let's go Haskinen.
That would be interesting.
As your D-man, your two forwards, because it's 3-on-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Haskinen, Robertson, and Duchene. On paper, that sounds like a game winner within the first 2 minutes, if not 30 seconds. Because they can hit you with speed, they can hit you with creativity, and Haskinen could be the guy that points everything out.
Yeah.
I mean, he really could. That's your first overtime line. I mean, beyond that, who else you might roll out there for the next 4 minutes or whatever might be left, I have no idea. But if you want to win a game, that's who you roll out in overtime. Or you go 2 D-man and a forward. I mean, that tells me you're not.
So would you go what? Haskinen,
Hockenpah, maybe.
Hockenpah and Robertson?
Or Duchene, yeah.
Or Duchene?
Yeah. I think Mero has the speed to get the puck away. I think Hockenpah has the know-how to hit somebody off the puck. And you know who's going to bury it.
And once again, we've also got Sam Steele, who's in there that we haven't really gotten to know or see what he's going to bring to the table. So he could be another one that, you know.
Sam Steele. Okay, this is your definite forward. Okay, imagine this line. Sam Steele, Rupe Hintz, Miro Heiskanen, or Sam Steele, Jason Robertson, Miro Heiskanen, or Hakanpaa.
Mm.
That's an overtime possibility there.
That's quite a possibility, yeah.
Sam Steele, Matt Duchene, Hakanpaa.
I can live with that one.
Sam Steele.
Wyatt Johnston.
Wyatt Johnston. We'll go Miro.
Miro, yeah.
And your first opponent this year is the St. Louis Blues, who are supposedly pretty good on defense this year.
It'll be a good test for the Stars Thursday.
Man, that... Have you even looked at the Blues roster?
I haven't.
I can tell you this. I have no idea. Besides Tarasenko, who is no longer with them, obviously, I have no idea who's on their roster. And I need to look at it before Thursday. It's driving me crazy. The lines and the possibilities and... Ooh, okay, with the defense the way it is for St. Louis, you know, supposedly, like I said, they're supposed to be one of the better teams in our division defensively. I think you have the speed to possibly skate circles around them. But here's a question for you. With that said, can the Stars muster up the ability and the courage to play more than 40 minutes? Because the problem with them...
We'll find out Thursday.
The problem with them, though, is that they don't like to play all 60 minutes of the game. You feel that? Like, can you see that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that right there is your overtime problem. They get themselves in those situations, only to shoot themselves in the foot. Well, they have to play the full 60. And I think that's when your overtime situations start to die down. Ooh, I have a question.
I hope this isn't true.
What's that?
We're not putting Wedgwood in goal for the first game, are we?
Where did you see that mess?
On NHL.com, I mean, their game center. Oh, no, never mind. Andrews got the start. Never mind. I was a little further down. I'm looking at the rosters and comparisons.
I was a little bit scared.
you and me both. I was like, wait a minute. No, season opener, we got to have Austin Green.
Why on earth would you start Wedgwood over Ottinger at all? That Wedgwood's my biggest question mark for the Stars. Can he even last long enough to give Ottinger a break?
I don't know. I feel like last season we were kind of forcing a situation to bring Matt Murray up a couple times because Wedgwood was not ready to go.
See, in those terms, that means Mr. Wedgwood might be a liability.
Yeah, but unfortunately, at this point, what can you do? There's not a whole lot you can do. You're kind of stuck with him at this point.
I don't know his contract off the top of my head, but I'd trade him. Don't even trade him for a high draft pick. He'd be like a fourth rounder, man. If you need Matt Murray and you're worried about Wedgwood, I send him away for a fourth round draft pick. And you know what? Arizona. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. See, I'm scared of Wedgwood now because of what they did with Jake. I can't get that out of my head. How many games did Mr. Ottinger play last year? Was it somewhere around 60?
Oh, it was an outrageous amount of games.
And then you expect him to live up to all those? You know how you were talking about you got to have all your starters for preseason when we were talking about football?
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of like, if you're going to half heart it because of injuries or whatever, you got to go. And the injury thing, the inability to play thing, it has me really wanting to pull the trigger on a trade or a release for him. And I don't know how they make that happen, but that's going to be a gamble this year. And I don't like that. I want your goalies to be the safest person on your team, because that means everybody else has to bail you out. And Dallas defense does not have what it takes to play hard in front of the goalies. They don't have what it takes to maintain a game. You know, this
unless they've greatly improved from last season. You're right.
I don't know if they've greatly. Okay. The best improvement I see, no offense to Steele or Smith, because I actually like them and I'm intrigued by them. The biggest improvement I see that the Dallas Stars made was Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
And that has me scratching my head with Wedgwood's health, Wedgwood's ability to start a game, or lack of start in a game. I don't want Ottinger put in a position where he can be hurt. And let's look at Tampa Bay, for example. Vasilevsky, he's out right now. Everybody acts like he's a god among men. Everybody acts like he's the best goalie in the league. He might very well be right now. He's hurt. Why? Because too many starts, too many probably defensive mistakes. I don't know. I didn't watch Tampa Bay that much this year. But that's one of the best goalies in the league. He's down right now. And it had to be because somebody's mistake.
Yeah.
And it's either going to be he played too much, somebody made him play too much, whatever the case. So you're setting up Ottinger to exhaust himself with a guy like Wedgwood and Net.
Well, my complaint with Wedgwood's not so much injury and if he can make it through the season. My complaint is he is inconsistent. You never know which Wedgwood you're going to get in Net, as we saw last season. There were some games where Wedgwood was on fire and was a brick wall, and you couldn't score on him if you tried. Then there were some games where they were scoring on him left and right. And he was making bad decisions, going after pucks, leaving the net, going after pucks that he really had no business going after, putting himself in bad positions.
Yeah. And when you have the defense that can make up for those mistakes,
it's no big deal, but we don't have that kind of defense, as you said.
Right. That's my thing. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to circle back to what I said originally, being that Wedgwood is the liability. He can be that because of the defense, and that's not fair to him either. He can be hurt because he's played too much. You know, done the wrong thing at the wrong time, and the defense is just kind of skating around acting silly.
Yeah. You know, and if you recall, there were a couple of games last season where we had to bail Wedgwood out. You know, I can't remember which game, which team we went against, but we were down, what, 6-0 at one point. We came back, and I think we wound up losing in overtime. But even still, you shouldn't be down 6-0.
No, no, you should not. You got to have the team and the goalie to back each other up.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter which way you shake it, all due respect, Mr. Ottinger, the weakest part of this team is the defense. And, you know, they say defense wins championships. And, you know, in Chicago's case, in the early 2010s, they won the championships with a high-octane offense. But, you know, that's not going to work for everybody. You got to have the right system, the right coach, yeah, the right players. And, I mean, the offense for the Stars, if you're looking at pushing Tyler Seguin down to the third line, possibly, and this was just a thing in my head, if you're looking at maybe putting Tyler Seguin at the third line or Jamie Benn in the third, fourth line, whatever, those two high-caliber players that low, wow. Your offense is loaded.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for a much more offensive output this season. There were a couple of games last season where we were going into the end of the first period with one opportunity, two shots on goal, you know, three shots on goal. You're not going to win doing stuff like that.
No, you're really not. And I think that's where Duchesne comes in. Because he's not afraid to shoot.
Right. You know, too many times where I feel like we had shots that we could have taken, open shots we could have taken, but for whatever reason, players held back.
My God.
You can't hold back.
Yeah. Fully agree. The playoffs, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Do I want to harp on Vegas again? They were in Vegas' zone like they were on, or I'm sorry, they were in the defensive zone like they were on the penalty kill a lot of the time. Like they were.
And just, one thing we mentioned a lot last season is no killer instinct.
Can Duchesne help with that?
I think he can. I think Duchesne's going to have a lot of carries. He's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, that's true. He's ready to rock. And, you got Sam Steele as well. And Craig Smith waiting in the wings, waiting for a chance. So, yeah, the offense might be there. Yep. Really might.
And too much weight was put on the Robo Hintz line last season.
Oh, dude. Yeah. That.
Okay. I mean.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying, you can't do that. You know, you need output from your second, third, and fourth line, you know? You can't just have one line be all your output and hope to win this league.
No, you're right. And when you have people writing about, oh, all you have to do is stop Hintz, Robertson, and Pavelski, you're good to go. When you see people writing about that, come on, guys. And now this team's so loaded, it doesn't matter who you put in.
No, it doesn't.
The question is, though, is the talent going to match up with the scheme and the fit and the, what's it called, the coaching philosophy? Or are they just doing a plug-and-play game of the same old crap?
Well, we'll find out because, you know, this is, what, Coach DeBoer's second season with the team. The good thing about it is you've got a young rookie like Wyatt Johnson who basically is growing up in the same in this system. So this is basically what he's learning and what he's getting to know. So I do expect more output out of him this season. You do have a Matt Duchene that's coming in, who I feel has a chip on his shoulder, and I think he's gonna want to buy into whatever system we have in place because he wants to win. You know, he wants to show, hey, you gave up on me. Now see, look what you missed out on. We already know Robertson's bought into the system. Rupi Hintz as well. Jamie Benn seems like he's bought into it. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've got more than enough leadership around that, that's bought into the system. I don't think this is a plug and play. I think this is, you know, the, these are players. They've just got to figure out how to keep it going through three periods of hockey and trying to avoid getting put in bad situations and getting put into overtime situations. Because once again, you know, we talk about Ottinger. Could you imagine if you just cut out, let's just say, six of the overtime games that we went into last season, how much more energy, how much more that how much that would have taken off of the wear and tear on Ottinger?
We might be Stanley Cup champions right now.
Yep. And not just Ottinger, but on our players alone. I mean, there were a couple of games there where we were going, you know, extra periods to, you know, shootouts. You know, it's just, my goodness. And, you know, it's deflating sometimes to fight back and to lose in a shootout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting that point, but, you know, a win is going to feel a heck of a lot better than saying, well, at least we got a point.
Yeah, how many times have you seen that on social media, by the way?
I mean, I hate to say it, that point to me is like a participation award. Well, you participated in tonight's game, so we're going to award you a point.
Essentially, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Growing up, I played sports from peewee football all the way up through high school. And at no point in my younger years did I ever want a trophy that I didn't earn. I just wasn't that type of player. And I'll be honest, I'm so glad that they did not have participation awards when I was playing at that point in time. Because I was not one of those kids. I was one of those, if we won, we won. If we lost, we lost. And we need to learn from the loss. And yeah, it hurt and it made me not want to lose. But if I knew at the end of the day I'm still going to get an award, well, what the heck? Why should I even fight to win? I'm still going to get something, right? No. Right. You know, my parents had all my trophies at one point, and I don't know where they all are, but, you know, at one point I had them all up in my room when I was, you know, in high school and whatnot. I would have been embarrassed if I'd had friends come over and, oh, this is when I participated in this game. This is when I participated in this sport. You know, I played Little League baseball, and this is when I participated in it. No, it was great having, you know, player of the month and stuff like that. You know, that's what you stood out, you know, when I was in track. You know, I'll never forget one time, and it killed me, and I never did it again. I got fourth place, and I didn't think I deserved to get anything because I figured it was first, second, third. And they came over and grabbed me. I was at Eastern Hills. I'll never forget it. And I got fourth place, and I was so mad at myself because I know I could have gotten at least second, but for whatever reason, I had a cramp and whatnot, and I was mad. And I remember sitting there, and my dad was there with me, and I remember they come over and like, hey, you need to come over here. You need to go to the podium. I'm like, for what? And they gave me that white fourth place ribbon. And I'll never forget how I felt. I was like, this is ridiculous. Why am I getting this? This is like a consolation prize. And, you know, after that, you know, like my dad said, you know, he was like, well, if you don't want that, you know what you got to do. And I never, you know, I was either in, you know, second, third, or first place after that in any of my events. And, you know, I did hurdles Yeah, that was fun. But anyway, they need to really focus on not going that far. And you want to end these games with a win. Get your 2 points. Get out of there. Don't give the opportunity to the other team to even get an extra point or participation point either. Yeah, it's great if we make it to the shootout and we win the shootout and we get the 2 points, but you're still handing a point to that other team. And if that other team is a Minnesota Wild, a St. Louis Blue, a Vegas Knight, or something of that nature, you know, you're just giving points to who you're going to be facing later on in the playoffs.
Not only that, it could push you up or down in the standings come playoffs.
That too.
I mean, we saw that last season, and it was just like, what was it? We were over half the season. They were around the top of the, not just the conference, not just the division, but the whole freaking league.
Yeah.
And then everything just fell apart. Where'd the killer instinct go? Like,
they got comfortable.
You think that's what it was?
No, I'm just saying, well, you know, I think part of it probably was, you know, sometimes you buy into the hype. And I hate to say it, but this team seems to be that buy into the hype type team at point sometimes. And if you recall, you know, we hit a slump. What's that?
I said it is the Dallas team.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we had hit a slump until we brought in Dadonov and Max Domi, if you remember last season. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like it lit a fire back in us. And then we started winning constantly again. But up until that point, you know, we'd win a game and we'd lose three. It's like, what in the world? You know? Or we'd win a game, we'd lose two. I don't think we lost throw until we got to the playoffs. But still. And, yeah, okay, that's great. Ooh, we haven't lost three games in a row. Okay, but those two games in a row losses add up.
Yep. They have to be careful to not let anything, and I mean anything, cause a domino effect. Winning or losing. Well, winning is a good thing, but, you know, you can exhaust yourself trying to win. Are you there?
Yeah, the preseason's over. That's done. You know, like I said, I don't put a whole lot of weight on preseason wins and losses and things of that nature. Yeah, it's great to win. But, you know, that preseason's mainly there for the younger guys trying to get a position.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Thursday. I can't wait to see how the lineups are. I can't wait to see who's online with who. I'm excited to see Matt Duchesne out there. I would like to see Craig Smith up, but if he's, you know, if they don't suit him and they go with Ty, I'm fine with that too. I'm kind of excited to see Sam Steele as well. I want to see Johnston. I want to see, I would, you know, in my mind, I would love to see Johnston get a goal in this first game.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
I think that would just fire that young man up. So, you know, this is going to be exciting. I'm, you know, but the main thing is I want to come away with a win. I want to win in regulation. I don't want to go to extra periods. Let's go ahead and get this done.
I mean, yeah.
It's one of those things. It's right there. The Stanley Cup is right there. You just got the other teams. Honestly, truthfully, I think we were the better team last season against Vegas, but Vegas wanted it more.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, we were the better team, in my opinion. But Vegas just wanted it more, and you could see it. We were defeated before the game even started.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like watching those old Mike Tyson videos, you know. You see Mike Tyson in the ring, and you look at their opponent. Mike Tyson just had a look that would just kill you before the fight even started. The fight was already won before the bell even rang.
Yep.
And I feel like that's how Dallas was last season against Vegas. I think, honestly, truly, I think all of our steam went out in that Minnesota series. I think they put all of their hopes and energy and everything into the winning that series. And after we won that series, it was great. But really, our energy was just gone after that.
That's true. I agree. Well, I mean, hey, Thursday starts, well, it's an even playing field right now. We're all looking at the Stanley Cup.
Everybody's at a zero right now.
1 of 82. 2 points in the balance.
Yes, sir. And with that, I'm going to call it a day, and hopefully we'll have some good things to talk about next week.
Yeah, I hope so. Oh, have you seen the schedule before you go? There's like 2 games in 4 days, I think, to start.
Yeah, I was looking a little bit at that.
Hang on. The first 2 games are like insanely spaced apart.
Yes, they are. I want to say it's like we're playing Thursday and then we don't play again until something like Tuesday or something like that.
That's, oof. You better start off game one like your butt's on fire, because that game two is going to be a killer. Just because of the time, you know. But you do have time to iron out the kinks.
So, yeah. Like I said, and we're going right into the from the frying pan into the fire. We're going from playing the Blues on Thursday to our next game playing against the Golden Knights on Tuesday.
Oh my, revenge
in Vegas, which, as you, if you remember, we were a better road team last season. They need to work on that too.
Hey, here's a wild thing for you. Did you know the Center Ice logo in Vegas is now the outline of the rim of the Stanley Cup?
No, I didn't know that.
Tell me you don't know how to win without telling me you don't know how to win.
Exactly.
Like, the outer circle that's always there is now going to be the outline of the Stanley Cup with the Vegas head in the middle. Okay, so there's your.
They've earned it. You can't say they didn't earn it, so.
I mean, that just seems braggy of them. And you said it is?
It is. It is braggy of them.
And this is the chance for the Stars to smack around the Stanley Cup champs, man.
Let's hope that happens. But yeah. So they're playing Thursday, Tuesday. Thursday again, and then Saturday.
I like the Thursday, Saturday better. It keeps whatever momentum going, you know? Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I like the Thursday, Saturday as well.
That the space in between them, man, is what I feel like could kill their motivation, maybe? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then again, though, might give us a little bit of rest, too, for that game against the Golden Knights on Tuesday. So, you never know.
Yeah, I'll write about
it. This could play out one of several ways. And I guess we'll just have to wait and find out. And it's a late game on Tuesday. I never was a big fan of those late games. I hate those 9:30, 9 o'clock games.
Is it 9 o'clock?
It's 9:30.
9:30. Oh. Well, I know what game I won't be watching. Okay. Well, all right.
Guess I'll be keeping track of it for you again, huh?
Yeah. I mean, hey, not to make a pun here and you know, brag about the show, but maybe that'll be a barn burner.
Maybe.
I couldn't resist the little.
There you go.
Cheap pop, but, I guess you call it.
Well, on that note, I'm going to leave it at my prediction is going to be for the first game. I'm going to say it's going to be a close game, but not too close. I'm going to call it a 4-2 game. I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-2 game, and then we get to open up.
Oof. Okay. You're talking about the opening game or the
first two? Yeah, against the Blues. No, I don't want to predict Golden Knights yet.
I'll say 3-1 blue in favor of the Stars against the Blues. I'll say, let's go Sagan, let's go Dodonov, and let's go Steele. Yeah, that's your three. And who? We'll go Hayes for the Blues. Why not? That's it for me. I think the Stars will win because they have the better offense.
But yeah, I have a feeling we'll win this game.
Let's just hope.
And, you know, let's just hope that they don't drop the puck.
Drop the puck? You mean like, oh, drop the ball. I see.
You like that?
I see. That was good. I like it. We're all full of funs and pun here at the Lone Star Barnbrenner Hockey Podcast. Man, I want to thank you for your time. You know I love
this. That's been a pleasure.
I hope we can do it again next week.
Yes, sir.
Even sooner, maybe.
It'll probably be next week. It'll probably be Monday.
All right. Sounds good to me. Well, that won't be it for this show, though, because we'll have a post-game analysis. Well, game analysis of the first game, the next show. For the Lone Star Barnbrenner. So thank you, BS3 Network, for the time on the site and the network. Thank you again, K Fitz. You know I love you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Go Stars.
Go Stars. Thank you, guys.